Thank you, Kathleen. Morning, everyone, whether you're here in person, watching us a bit later, or watching us right now. Welcome on the internet to this 10 o'clock Holy Communion service. We're starting Advent today. Yay! Chocolate soon. The first subject today, well, for today is walking in the light. So Jeff's going to come up and talk about that in a little bit. Right then, this morning we're doing things a little bit different. I'm pushing the boat out before we start the service. Well, to start the service, we are going to be singing. Because we're talking about light, we're going to sing Christ Be Our Light. So I'm going to have a quick drink of water, and then everybody's going to stand and we're going to give it our best. And then we'll have all the other gubbins. So let's stand and sing Christ Be Our Light. Please have a seat. So welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you.
And also with you.
So we come from scattered lives to meet with God. So let us in a moment of silence, recognize his presence with us. As God's people, we are gathered. Let us worship him together. So, loving God, we have come to worship you. Help us to pray to you in faith, to sing your praise with gratitude, and to listen to your word with eagerness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And because it's Advent, we have candles. Ta-da! Margaret, would you please do the honours with flagration? So it's Advent 1, so we light this candle to remind us of God's people who in every age watch for his coming. Happy Advent, everyone. Thank you, Margaret. So in the spirit of trying to keep light going, we're going to say together the words, not of all of Psalm 139, you'll be really grateful to know, just verses 7 to 12. So let us say together, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So let us just take a moment or two to reflect on those words of the psalmist. Perhaps a phrase stood out to you, something that you can hold on to this week. Perhaps it's the reassurance that even in these dark times, darkness is not dark to God. Let us have a moment of silence. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Help us to see your light through the world as we go into your world every day. Help us to see you in the people we meet, the places we are, and the things that we do. Amen. Well, just to keep us warm, we're going to sing again. So this one is, O God, you search me and you know me. So please stand. Please have a seat for our time of confession. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Lord, bring to mind those things you wish us to place at the foot of the cross this morning. Let's join together in the words of the confession. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of power and love forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. So now, let us remind ourselves of whom we worship. You, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You come to us before we come to you. You are revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. We worship you. And now we're going to have our readings. The first one is from Isaiah. Patience. It's all yours, lovely.
Thank you, Jackie. Yes, we have two readings this morning. Isaiah chapter 2 and then Romans 13. So Isaiah chapter 2, starting at verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." This law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Romans chapter 13, starting at verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Boys, do you want me to pray?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jeff and all that you have given him to tell, to reveal to us today. We pray for your spirit to be upon him and also upon us, to give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to do your will. Amen.
Amen. The phone call came at 7:30 in the morning. It was the head teacher of our local primary school where I was chair of governors. "Ofsted are coming," she said. "Tomorrow." "Tomorrow?" I said. "But I thought they were supposed to give us 6 weeks' notice." "Not anymore," she said. "Can you get some governors together to meet the lead inspector at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning?" "Well, I'll try," I said. "You see, the last time we were inspected, we did have 6 weeks' notice. Admittedly, we spent that 6 weeks frantically trying to put things into place that probably should have been in place already, but we did okay. Now, I wasn't so sure. There was just no time to get ready. But of course, if the truth be told, we should have been Ofsted ready all the time. It's the same in the NHS, you know. Time was when the Care Quality Commission used to give hospitals notice of an inspection. Now they just turn up on the ward. It's very much a case of a no-notice inspection. But of course that means you gotta be ready 24/7. Now, our Advent readings this morning involve something similar. Both the prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul point to a day that will arrive with no notice. It's variously called the day of the Lord, or the last day, or just the day, when the Lord will come and judge the world he's created and put everything right. Now, this idea that there's a day of the Lord is a very Jewish idea. You'll find it in the Old Testament, and you'll find it in virtually all of the teachings of the rabbis at the time of Jesus. And at first it was presented very much as a day of joy. The Messiah, he's coming. He's going to right all the wrongs and usher in a time of peace and prosperity and joy. But as time went on The prophets began to talk about the day of the Lord as a day of judgment, because the people had stopped walking in the light of the Lord. And the prophets called them to repent, because the day is near. Now the Apostle Paul, he picks up on both of these and he applies them directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his second coming, but also to his first coming. That is the day of the Lord now. It will come in full one day when Christ returns, but in a sense, it has already come. Now, of course, we don't know when the second coming will happen. Indeed, Paul says to us, it'll come like a thief in the night. But there is a sense in which it has already come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the best way I can describe this is to use a diagram I've used before. We live here in this present age. We look forward to the age to come. But because Jesus has lived and died and risen from the dead in the present age and poured out his Holy Spirit in the present age, we Christians have already begun to live the life of the age to come. It's like we're living in the overlap, as somebody once put it. And therefore, because we live in this overlap, because for us the new age has already begun, we feel compelled to live by the standards and values of the age to come, not by the standards and values of this world. We're to spend our time here, however much longer you and I have got, rehearsing the behavior that's appropriate for the age to come. So we will be not Ofsted ready, but Advent ready for when he comes again. Think of it like this. Think of a classical musician getting ready for a concert. She has to rehearse and practice for hours. She has to learn the whole of that piece of music off by heart so that she's ready for the big day. Now, no doubt, during the practicing, she'll play a lot of wrong notes. But that's the whole point of the practice, to get ready for the big day, so she plays perfectly. In this life, we are practicing for the age to come, life in the age to come, eternal life, as it's sometimes called. We have it now. Therefore, we need to be living it. No doubt we'll play quite a few wrong notes, but will we be ready for the big day? It's a bit like that old story about the emperor's bird. Do you know that story? How centuries ago a Japanese emperor possessed this beautiful pet bird. He loved this bird. And he wanted a portrait painted of the bird. So he called in Japan's finest artist and said, I want you to paint my bird. And he agreed, the artist, on one condition, that he could take the bird back to his studio and paint it there. Well, the emperor didn't really want his bird to go anywhere else, but he agreed. 1 week you've got, he said. And at the end of the week, he sent a messenger to fetch the bird and the portrait. And the message came back, I need another week. Well, that annoyed the emperor a bit, but he agreed. And at the end of the second week, he sent his messenger. And a message came back, I need another 2 weeks. Well, the emperor agreed very reluctantly. And at the end of the month, as it was, he went himself to the artist's studio. And he said, where's my bird? Where's my portrait? Whereupon, the artist took out a large sheet of paper and painted the most exquisite portrait of this bird. And the emperor was flabbergasted. He said, well, why on earth did you need a month if you can do that in 5 minutes? Ah, said the artist, come with me. And he took the emperor to the back of the studio where there was a large gallery And on the walls of this gallery, literally hundreds of portraits of this bird. None of them quite as good as the one he'd just painted. When the King of Kings comes, no doubt we'll be able to point to many failed attempts to live our lives as a portrait of Jesus Christ. But can we at least say to him, I tried, and I tried again. The Apostle Paul prays this for us, that God will strengthen our hearts so that we'll be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. That's the goal, to be blameless and holy. But how can we be? Well, St. Paul gives us a very helpful picture in Romans 13. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been in a situation where you found you were inappropriately dressed? It happened to me once. We had an elderly gentleman in our congregation. He was a lovely man. He was a retired colonel, very old school, but he was a real gentleman. And after church one Sunday, he came up to me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "You must come and have lunch with me at my club, dear boy." So I said, "Well, that's very kind. Thank you very much." Turns out his club was the very prestigious Hurlingham Club in Fulham. So we fixed a date. It didn't occur to me that there might be a dress code. But I thought, well, I'll dress smartly, smart casual, as they call it. Open neck shirt, white shirt, decent pair of trousers. Went off to the Hurlingham Club and walked into the bar. I'm telling you, I've never seen a bar as plush as this. And there was the colonel. And I went up to him. And as I sat down with him, I noticed two waiters behind the bar looking at me and talking to one another, whispering, which I thought was a bit rude, but I ignored it. And then the colonel got up to go and get some drinks, and he had a word with these waiters. And while he was up at the bar, one of the waiters came over to me and stood behind my chair and bent down and said to me very discreetly, "It's jacket and tie only in the dining room, sir." I said, "Well, I haven't got a jacket and tie." And he said, "Well, don't you worry, sir. You can have mine." And he took off his jacket and his bow tie, put them on me, and the colonel and I went in to lunch. It's one of the best meals I've ever tasted. When Jesus returns and invites you and I into the heavenly banquet, will we be appropriately dressed? There is a dress code. And Jesus spoke about this in one of his parables. Do you remember this parable in Matthew 22? How the king gave the wedding banquet for his son, and all the invited guests didn't turn up. So he threw the place open to people off the streets, and the banquet was filled. And then the king went about amongst the guests and he noticed one man without a wedding robe on and he threw him out. Bit unfair, isn't it? Not when you remember that the custom in those days was, if you were invited to a royal wedding, they would send you the wedding robe so that nobody could say, "I've got nothing to wear." This man had obviously looked at it and said, "No, I'm fine as I am, thank you very much," and gone off to the wedding. The Lord has provided us with everything we need to be in his kingdom. The robe is Jesus Christ himself. We'll only be ready if we're wearing him. Well, you may say, how do I wear him? Well, first we have to admit that our own clothes are not good enough. All our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, I believe it says in Jeremiah. We have to recognize that our good deeds are not enough. We have to put off ourselves, put on Christ. That is a very countercultural thing to do in this generation of the selfie, putting off the self. But it's all we can do. And then we have to study him, study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're able to read at least all through the Gospels, at least once a year. Study his character. And as you study, pray that you'll be made like him. Study him. And then feed on him. When you come up to communion and put out your hand to receive the body and blood of Christ, taking him into your very being, pray that his character will fill you so you and I will be like him. Are we ready? I don't know if you've ever watched Portrait Artist of the Year. It's on Sky Arts. It's a brilliant program. Various artists compete to paint the portrait of a famous sitter in 4 hours. The key thing, of course, is to get a likeness. But some of those artists also manage to capture something of the character of the sitter in their portrait. Can you and I, and I'll finish with this, can you and I live our lives as a portrait of him, capturing his character in the way we live? Let's bow our heads and think for a moment. How can I clothe myself with the Lord Jesus Christ?
A lot to think about there, Jeff. Thank you very much. Excuse me. Right then, we're going to sing again. And so if you'd like to stand, we're going to open. We've got 2 songs here. The first one is Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Please stand. now is our time for prayer, so if you'd like to sit or kneel as you feel comfortable.
Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you because you have given us all we need to be right with you and ready for the day of the Lord. Please will you help us to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, so that when he comes we shall be like him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift into your arms all those that we know that aren't well and are not able to be here with us today. We lift into your arms and thank you, Lord, for Carol's operation that was successful earlier in this week. Lord, we pray that you will be with her as she recovers at this time. Lord, we also pray that you'll be with Martin as well, and that you'll hold them both close together. Lord, we pray that you will set aside their fears and worries over their family as they do a lot of care for them, Lord. We pray for the whole family, Lord, that you're holding them close to you, that they can hear your heart beating for them, Lord. Pray, Lord, for those who live with mental and emotional and physical health problems. Lord, draw close to all those in need and people that aren't able to be here with us because of ill health. Lord, we ask that you will pour your Holy Spirit into them. We pray for healing of mind and body and spirit, Lord, for them. In their darkest hours, we pray, Lord, that you will be there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the safe arrival of baby Julia to April, Connor, and Archer. Lord, we just praise and thank you for so many prayers along April's pregnancy were so answered, and Lord, here we are celebrating with them along with this safe arrival of this beautiful baby. Lord, we just give you thanks for new life, new birth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Great God, you made us all in your own image. We are like you. But sometimes we don't behave like you. So, Lord, we ask and pray for your forgiveness. When we do and say the wrong things, when we hurt others, when we are cruel, we pray for the cruelty of people, Lord, against people who are different, whether they be disabled, whether it be the wrong colour, from the wrong part of the town or the country or the world. Lord, you created us to be unique and different from each other. Lord, help us to celebrate that. Help us to take that out of this building, to share that with others when we see racism played out. Help us to be gentle, but to be firm, that we are all people. We are your people, Lord. Help us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for those countries that are warring, that have war, that are not in peace. Lord, we do lift up Ukraine to you and Russia. Lord, we just pray that your strong arm will come down on that roaring nations, that Putin will be put in place, in his place, Lord. We're sad that we're still stood here today, many, many months after it began, still asking for the same, Lord. Help us to cry out to you in our own personal prayers for injustices across the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for the work of Food Bank, providing food to people in need, for the work of CAP, helping people to manage and budget for themselves, to feel empowered, and for the street pastors who probably are now all in bed after a hard night out in Worcester and across the UK. Lord, we thank you for these people, that you've given them such a heart to reach out to the poor, to the unempowered, and to the vulnerable. We thank you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your dear Son, Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So let's pull all our prayers together in the words of the Collect. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So as we come towards our time of communion, let us say together, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. So if you'd like to stand for the peace. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. As you feel comfortable, exchange a sign of the peace.
to remind you that
when you've received communion, if you want to go for some time of prayer with Paul, he'll be at the back, Paul Hunt, to pray with you. If there is anything at all you need prayer for, be free to go from communion straight to the back and have a time of prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. This is his story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup and gave it and said, "This is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. Send your spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
So let us say together the post-communion prayer. O Lord our God, make us watchful and keep us faithful as we await the coming of your Son, our Lord, that when he shall appear, he may not find us sleeping in sin, but active in his service and joyful in his praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, as we draw towards the end of our service, we're going to sing, I confess, one of my favourites. And a favourite of a gentleman who used to sit right there, called Cliff. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. So, please stand. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the blessings that you pour down upon us. Help us to recognize them. And we pray that you will bless these gifts that we give back to you. Help us to build your kingdom here and throughout the world. Amen. And now, please have a seat, because there are a few notices, and our lovely ops manager, Liz, is coming. Just be careful of the candle.
I'll try not to set myself alight.
I'll try and move it.
Which button is it?
Press the bottom one.
The bottom one. Lovely.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not tall enough to see your screen. Hello. Well, it's really lovely to be with you this morning. We've got quite a few notices. I'm hoping that a lot of you will already have seen them in the notices, and the observant of you will have seen that we've had two mailings go out this week. On Thursday, our Advent mailing went out with lots of information about what we're doing during this season of Advent. And our weekly mailing with all our usual events came out on Friday. So just to remind you of a few of those. So tonight we have Deepa. So we will be meeting here at 6 o'clock. Dave is going to be speaking to us about our Advent programme and about why we're calling people to wait and to pray in this Advent season as we lead up to Christmas.
There's also a lot of opportunities that we have put into the programme over the next few weeks to encourage people to pray and to wait on God, and particularly to pray for our church in this season. The details are all in the mailing that has gone out, but there are some copies here for anyone who would like a hard copy or hasn't had the mailing. So on one side it talks about why there is this call to wait and to pray, and some scripture that we're going to be looking at together in all of the prayer sessions that we have arranged during Advent. The really important thing is that we're calling people to pray and to wait on God. And that may be for you that you do that at home on your own, but it may be that you'd like to join with other people to do that. And we've put on this programme that is trying to reflect all of the different things that we do in our church. So if you're particularly musical and you'd like to pray with music, there are sessions for that. If you are artistic and you like to draw and to spend time with God being creative, there are some sessions for that. If you have a look up on the board, these are the ones that are happening this week. It is a slightly different programme each week, and we do have all of the information on these sheets, which I'll leave at the back of church if you'd like to take one. Okay. Thank you, Janet. Okay, so for those of you at home that perhaps didn't hear Janet, the All Saints, Waiting with the All Saints Life Group is the group that normally meet at the Railway Inn, but is instead going to be meeting in a home for the 4 weeks, 3 weeks of Advent. Okay. But everyone is welcome to attend, and please, even if that isn't your life group, but you would like to go and join them, please do. You are very welcome. So, as you all know, Christmas is coming, and we've taken the opportunity to create a leaflet with all of the information about our Christmas services and also a number of the things that we also do at church. So just drawing attention to our toddler groups, the work we do with CAP, and all sorts of things like that. The leaflets are at the back of church. So if you look by the leaflets at the back, there's a big pile that are just spares that you can take to use for yourself or to give to anyone you like. On the table, they have been bundled up into streets, and we'd be really thankful if people were able to take some and deliver them to your neighbours. I know that you've done this in the past, so hopefully this isn't new, but we would really appreciate that going out. But also to ask you please to pray for conversations that we may have when we deliver these leaflets, and also that they are read with the right spirit so that encourages people to come and join us at church this Christmas. So Paul Hunt is very kindly leading an Advent quiet morning for us. It's going to be at St Andrew's. We're hoping that being able to use a bit more space there will encourage more people to join us, but you are very, very welcome to come to that. And I hear Paul leads an excellent Advent quiet morning, so I'm looking forward to joining you. Also on that Saturday, so men, you have a choice. it is the monthly men's breakfast at Wetherspoons, and you have a speaker coming to talk. He's a plastic surgeon, and he's coming to talk about facial deformity and identity. Our Chris Dingle this year is a little bit earlier than usual. It is on the 11th of December. At 4 o'clock. So please do think who you might be able to invite to join us at that service.
And one for me on the 18th is the carol service. So come prepared to sing. And those of you on internet, you'll have words too, so you'll have to just sing along in your own home. Right then. Thank you, Liz, for doing that. Right then. Let's pray. In darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So Let's hold out our hands to catch even more blessings, if you'd like. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So, let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. If you'd like more prayer, that will be at the back. If you'd like coffee, that will be at the front. Have a blessed week.